Hello, good morning. This is Senior National Sales Director Cindy Fox, and this is the third in our series of Caddy by Christmas calls, and I'm so excited for everyone today to hear our featured speaker, Dawn Otten Sweeney, National Sales Director Dawn Otten Sweeney. Dawn began building her Mary Kay business in May of 1986. She spent 2.5 years working at part-time and then made a full-time commitment in 1988 when she became a sales director. Since then, she has earned the following prizes, commissions, and accolades. 13 Mary Kay career cars. 12 of them have been pink Cadillacs. So this lady is going to know exactly how to talk to us about Caddy by Christmas. The latest pink Cadillac is a pink Escalade hybrid. She has earned over 50 carats of diamonds in rings, earrings, B-pins, and bar pins. She has also won 2 complete bedroom suites. Her 1099 has been in excess of over $100,000 for the last 20 years. Wow, do the math on that. I think that's over $2 million, isn't it? She has had all expense paid trips and cruises for her and her husband to England, Germany, Austria, Paris, Portugal, Spain, Hawaii, Switzerland, Scotland, Ireland, and Sydney, Australia. Cruises to Bermuda, Alaska, Italy, Greece, and Turkey. In September of 2013, Dawn and her husband traveled with all the NSDs and top directors to Beijing, China for the company's 50th anniversary celebration. Her unit has sold in excess of $450,000 in retail product per year since they began, with the highest year to date being over $1.2 million in Seminar 2002. Her unit was number 6 out of over 13,000 units in the country and number 1 in their division for that year, Seminar 2002. Her national area has sold in excess of $3.4 million in retail product in one single year. Dawn's highest monthly commission check has exceeded over $27,000. However, with all these great achievements, her most favorite accolade is her Muskogee Award nomination for January of 2000. Dawn is married to Larry for 26 years, and they have 2 great children, Jake, who's 22, and daughter Alden, who's 20. Alden started her Mary Kay business in July of 2012, and since then, she has earned a car and built a unit in just 5.5 months, while being a full-time student and living on a college campus. Alden has most recently finished this past seminar year, the Court of Sharing and Fab 50s. So here we have the proud mom and the top national sales director and my friend, Dawn Otten Sweeney.
Thank you, Cindy. Thank you so much. I cannot thank Cindy enough for always listening to what God says and acting on it. You know, a lot of us listen, but seizing the moment and acting on it as soon as he lays that picture on your heart versus evaluating, oh, is it the right time? Did I hear right? Should I call those people? Will they think I'm weird, et cetera? Cindy just jumped on what God was laying out for her. And it, from the fruit that I'm hearing from this, you were right on in your discernment. I thank you for pulling all of these nationals together. I have heard just great feedback from my directors that are listening in and consultants. The Cadillac calls have been the topic of conversation in our national area, on coaching calls, at meetings, what directors are passing on. I think one of my directors said it best. She said, they're helping me learn how to think differently. And so thank you, Cindy, for doing that, and Kim and Ari for what you shared. I'm hoping, was praying, okay, God, what's the next, you know, the next step, so that all of us are, you know, layering on what the last shared. But they both shared, I mean, master levels in thinking, strategy, training, training you to of what you need to do, but also training you how they train, time management. You know, I congratulate you who have dialed into this live or are listening to it recorded, planning the time for this, planning the time to become a student of your Mary Kay business, prepared with paper and pen. I was preparing for this morning, started to think about it at the end of last week, then during church, but I can go back for ideas through my spiral. because I keep a spiral probably for a year, just one spiral notebook that I will take my notes at all my Mary Kay functions. I have my to-do list that I want to get through during the week, phone call messages, anything that I have to do, I keep in one spiral versus in my phone, in my iPad, on a sticky note, in my date book, all in one place. To me, that is just, it works. And so I could look back through notes from seminar, notes from a global leadership summit that Willow Creek puts on that I went to in August, notes from Charlotte Advance with Debbie Moore and Kathy Hallou and our family of nationals, and then, you know, to say, okay, God, what is it that you want me to share with these women? Everything's in one place. So saying that, I'm hoping that you have pen and paper. If you're listening to this while you're driving or doing something else, listen to it again because you'll pull up different things, but write it with pen and paper. There is something that researchers are finding now with the advent of people taking notes on iPads. There's something very different with how your mind connects things when you're doing separate letters, to spell out separate letters and put them on your iPad or computer or phone, than when you write things out. And Mary Kay Ash used to always tell us that the faintest ink is worth more than the best memory, but I think the faintest ink is better than the most articulate notes typed into your iPad either. And research is proving that out, that students learn better when they're writing versus typing in. There's something about it, writing with a pen. I just still stand amazed after 27 years that the things that Mary Kay Ash taught me, Daylene White was my national until Debbie Moore became a national. So my lineage is sitting at Mary Kay's feet at her home for new director training with her little fur person, painted fingernail, sitting on her couch. Mary Kay Ash was on my first two director's trips. In London was my first one. I was pregnant with my daughter, who you just heard is now a Mary Kay sales director. My second trip was our 35th or 25th anniversary, must have been 25th anniversary, to Bermuda, and Mary Kay was there cutting the cake with the Bermudian band leading us into the ballroom, and all the Exxon execs that just happened to be at the Princess Hotel at the same time are going, who are these people? They must be so important with the Bermudian band, you know, leading them into their banquet, and we're like, yep, that's us. We sell lipstick and impact women's lives through cosmetics. So, but I was taught by them, and something that we were taught is to become a student of your business. You didn't have access to information like you do now with the internet. And actually that, I look back, and that's something I'm grateful for, because the internet has helped us in some ways be able to build businesses faster, minimize the time of communication. So when I moved, I started in Cleveland for 2 months, then was in Michigan 4 months, then Arizona, right on the Mexican border for 24 months. That's actually where I did Queens Court of Sales, earned my first car. Was in DIQ, my husband's job. We got transferred. We lived on St. Simons Island, Georgia. Started DIQ with, you know, no internet, no communication except for a phone attached to a wall on a curly cord that only stretched so far. We got really cool when we got long cords. But there was no internet. There was, I mean, you got your training from your Applause magazine, your weekly success meeting, your newsletter, your calls from your director, which I talked to Debbie Moore infrequently, maybe once a month, after 9 o'clock at night, her time, because that's when it was inexpensive to call outside your area code. So, you know, we had to become a student from listening to CDs. Actually, they weren't CDs then. They were whatever they were, 8-track tapes. I don't even know what they were back then. But Mary Kay said, you know, listen to one, a Mary Kay cassette tape every day. I had them all over my car. And, you know, become a student of your business at your weekly success meeting and then doing activity in between. And that's a critical thing that I think a lot are missing in our era. They have a lot of head knowledge, but they don't have the experiential knowledge, experience. They're not owning. You never own something until you do it. You can sit there and read a recipe or an article about tying shoes or riding a bike or skiing or building a Mary Kay business and doing a skincare class for your whole life and never own that information until you experience it yourself. I mean, you watch little kids learn to tie shoes, and to me, it's so frustrating. It's like, oh, my gosh, let me just tie it for them. are learning to read. Oh, my gosh, when my kids are learning to read, I just want to say, Spot, caught the ball. Oh, my gosh, it's making me crazy. But they have to go through that process of learning. Otherwise, they're never going to know how to read. They're never going to know how to tie their shoes. They're never going to know how to ride their bike. You'll never know how to, you know, book 8 parties to hold 5. You're never going to be a master at, you know, booking, coaching, selling, and recruiting all through the vehicle to skincare class until you do that. You know, Mary Kay said training is never out for the pro. So, you know, I know that some of you on this call, you are pros. Some of you are already in Cadillacs, I'm sure, and going for second, third Cadillacs, building national areas. Some are, you know, brand new consultants, and you don't even know what you don't know yet. I applaud you, though, for plugging in and listening to national sales directors who have built multiple Cadillac units and trip units and national areas. Because we think differently. We've had to adjust our thinking, transform our thoughts. Some of them we came into this business with because of past experiences or how we were brought up, but none of us came in with all the thoughts that we have now. Our thoughts have been transformed by plugging into, it used to just be career conference, seminar, leadership conference, your weekly success meeting, a fall retreat, a guest speaker that we used to drive 2, 3, 4, 5 hours to hear. Now you can pick up the phone and dial in and listen. But it's all about transforming your thoughts to align them with the people who are in the places you want to be. If you're a Christ follower, you know, we're called to transform our thoughts and line them up with Jesus Christ, with what it says in God's Word. And if you think something differently, then it's not the truth. And so we have to take those our thoughts captive, line them up with His thoughts, and make them our own and act on them like they're our own until they are our own. That's how you are transformed into being more like Jesus. And as if you're a Christ follower, you're a disciple of Jesus, and that's our, you know, our goal. And in Mary Kay, it's taking your thoughts captive to what lines up with success in Mary Kay. And I will share with you guys a trend that I see that is in our society that's alarming as a society, but it also is adversely affecting our Mary Kay business. We live in a day and age where people think they can make up their own rules, that there is no right or wrong. In fact, if you say that there is truth, that there is right or wrong, there is white or black as far as rules and law go, you're being judgmental. That is, you know, not a popular thing to say that there is right and wrong, that everyone gets to make up what's right for them. Well, I mean, that's called making yourself an idol, and that's really what was going on in Babylon and Rome. That always happened before the fall of empires and civilizations, and it's kind of where we're at with everyone, what's good for me? What makes me comfortable? What makes is convenient for me? It's all about me. And so if it's all about me, then whatever, I'm going to make up the rules to what's convenient for me. And you guys, that doesn't work. It doesn't work in life. That's not what I want to model for my kids. I mean, this is my husband seeing this as a youth strength and conditioning coach. You know, he sees, he'll sit down with families, and parents will bring their kids. Kids will come to him and say, I want to go to the next level, whether the next level is making the varsity team at their high school. It may mean getting a scholarship for college. You know, it may mean going from college to the pros. So he's a coach to help them get there. And predominantly, I mean, some of it obviously is physical because that's the arena they're working in. So just like with us, it's learning to book, coach, sell, and recruit. That's what we do in the physical. But the majority of it is the mental part, the head part. And when they say, yes, you know, I'm willing to do what it takes, the kids, you know, not the parents wanting the kids to do it, the kids saying, yeah, I'm willing to do what it takes. Part of it is, okay, then I'm going to teach you what the rules of success for, because I've walked this out already. I've done this. I've helped other kids do this. I would love to help you do this. But these are the rules for success. This is when you have to show up for practice, when you're tired, when you've just lost, when you're hurt, when you're injured, when you have a lot of homework, when you're discouraged, when life is crazy, when it's Halloween this Thursday, et cetera. You still are going to have to show up. And he has seen this trend of parents actually making excuses for their kids of, you know, why they're not there. They have too much homework. Well, you knew you were going to have homework. Like, they tell you what's going to happen. It's no surprise. It's kind of like with us. We knew it was going to be Halloween Thursday, and people will be trick-or-treating. So we know that. We know Thanksgiving's coming up. I finished DIQ Thanksgiving weekend 2,700 years ago, I think, this Thanksgiving. So when people say they can't achieve Mary Kay goals because of holidays, I don't understand. Or vacations, I don't understand. Or life happening, you know, building houses, people dying, bad diagnosis, open heart surgery, C-sections, family not around, you know, financial, marriage, teenage issues, the whole gambit, life. See, I don't get it because I saw modeled out to me Debbie Moore and Kathy Helu and Daylene White and Mary Kay Ash. That they, I saw how they thought, and how they did life with how they thought is what I wanted to model, because honestly, you know, having people real out of control with life was not attractive to me, and that's what I saw modeled around me. I loved in Mary Kay that I saw women just have a peace. Even when things were spinning out of control, I came to learn where that peace came from. When I came in, I thought it was their Mary Kay business. I came to learn that it was because of their relationship with Jesus and their, you know, faith in God that made all the difference in the world. But that's the best thing that I ever got out of my starter kit is coming to that realization and walking my life out that way. But you taking your thoughts captive. So as you hear, you know, what Kim shared and Ari and myself and then rest of the calls that Cindy has so graciously lined up and shared with all of us instead of just her area, ask yourself if there's something that challenges you that we share. Maybe that is a thought that you need to align your thoughts with the women who are in the positions that you want to be in. Whenever you say, but, when you hear something that's kind of convicting, like we hear it in church, it convicts, or when you're reading his word, or when you're in Mary Kay and someone says something and it's convicting, and you say, but afterwards, that probably means that you're coming out with an excuse. You're going to pad, you're going to rationalize what should be a conviction that causes a change in thought, because when you change your thoughts, you make different choices. And when you make different choices, you get different results. When you get different results, it's your whole life. It's different. So, you know, I know some of you brand new, just new to this process. Gosh, if I could have heard that at the beginning of my business, I would have saved myself a lot of frustration and disappointment. Some of you are working to get to New Orleans to be, you know, DIQs, future directors by that point in time. Some are already on target for caddies in DIQ. Some of you are right on target for your Cadillacs by Christmas. You know, whichever group you're in, I'm hoping that I can help give you some, equip you with some information that helps you finish well. You know, the reality is we have 4 days left in October, 4 days, and 9 weeks left in 2013. And so, you know, we have 9 weeks left in the second quarter of this Mary Kay year and 9 weeks left in the half of the 50th anniversary year. So, like, that's a reality check. Like, holy crow, we were just in Dallas. God just planted that dream in your heart. He just clarified it. He refined it. He resurrected it. He flamed it. And now we're, like, 9 weeks from halfway. Regardless of which the groups that you're in, Mary Kay goal-wise, you know, new consultant, working to go to New Orleans, DIQ, working to earn your Cadillac or earning your Cadillac, I want to give you some skills, some thoughts to help you finish well and self-coach yourself to finishing well. Because, again, when we live in a society that there is no right and wrong, we also live in a society that people, they're waiting for someone else to do it for them. Like, they're not taking personal responsibility for their lives and for they're entitled, which means they're waiting for someone else to do it for them. And that does not work well in Mary Kay at all. Like, you can't wait for your director to tell you what to do. Like, obviously, if you're a brand new consultant, you're going to get the scripts, the coaching, et cetera. But when people say to me that the reason they're at where they're at in their business is because they don't know, honestly, a huge red flag goes up. Because I don't know, unless you're a brand new consultant and your recruiter or director hasn't shared with you where to get the information you need, i.e. InTouch, their UnitNet site, their welcome call, their CDs, their CD downloads. If you haven't heard that, then you just signed up yesterday. Yeah, you can say, I don't know. But once you've been told where to have access to the information, I don't know is no longer an acceptable excuse for not being where you want to be. And, you know, saying I don't know is like, I'm a victim. I can't do anything about it. People, when they say, I don't have the time, I don't have the money, I don't know, all those are victim statements that actually in our society have been legitimized so people don't even recognize them as victim statements anymore. You know, those are pointed out real clearly in the Seven Habits of Highly Effective People by Covey. He, you know, talks about this trend, and this was years ago, of people saying, you know, I'm just too busy. I'm too busy. Like, you're a victim of time. Each of us has the same amount of time. And I just did a great Bible study with our sales directors in the Detroit area called The Lies Women Believe and the Truth That Sets Them Free. And one of the lies is, I'm too busy. I don't have time. And you guys, that's a lie because, you know, really, Jesus had more to do than you do, than any of us do. He didn't do everything that people wanted him to do. He didn't get everything done. I mean, there's stories in the Bible of him standing at a house and lines of people who are there to be healed, and he'd leave. But he did what his Father wanted him to do. And so he didn't get everything done. And when you stand in judgment, you know, with your Lord in front of you, he's not going to ask you about what you got done. He's going to ask you about what you got done that he asked you to get done. Some of the other stuff is stuff that you're doing because you think you should, because other people think you should, whether it's your family, your church, your husband, your kids. And ultimately, you know, all of us, if all of us just did what God wanted us to do, everything would work in perfect harmony. So I want to give you a formula and some help in self-coaching, some skills that are necessary to maximize your effectiveness as you move up the career path, whether it's you personally moving up or getting a Cadillac is moving yourself up the career path. Finish lines, whatever you've set for yourself by this Thursday at midnight, it's important. And it's, you know, I loved when Kim shared the three levels of commitment. I'll try, I'll do my best, I'll get it done. You know, Ari, I remember her on one of her top three speeches because she's in Emerald Seminar with me sharing, you know, everyone say, you know, I'm going to try and pick up my pen. And no one did it because your brain doesn't understand that. I'll do my best. I remember watching University of Michigan. My husband and I both went there, and he played football. So lots of University of Michigan sports are still watched in this household, and with him, you know, having athletes now that play there. So we were watching a girls' softball finals. This was probably 3 years ago in June. And we're watching the finals, and they were talking about this team that they were supposed to win the national championship. They were from Tennessee, I believe. And so they're in playing Michigan in the girls' softball national playoffs. And I love the behind-the-scenes stories. You know, I was never like a team athlete. Like I skied in ballet and individual sports, not team sports. And so I love this whole coaching of team sports because it's so much what we do. I've learned so much from coaches and coaching that is so applicable in our Mary Kay business. But this coach, you know, called her pitcher in because a pitcher is like the quarterback. It's like the director. You know, it's you if you're building a unit. You're the quarterback. You're the pitcher. You're the person in charge of where this team is going. And she called the pitcher in because they had lost like two rounds, and if they didn't, you know, start winning, they were not going to get on to the finals in the national championship. And the coach called this girl in. So this girl's like 18 to 20 years old, and the coach called the pitcher in, and she said, you know, what's going on? Like, this is not going well. Like, we're losing. Something's got to change here. And she said, Coach, I'm doing my best. And she said, I'm doing my best. And the coach said, there was like a moment of silence, and then the coach said, well, you know what? She goes, your team is depending on you. Your scholarship's depending on you. Your family, your program's depending on you. And your best is not good enough right now. So what are you going to do? And I remember hearing that going, oh, my gosh. I go, can I say that to people? Like, that is profound. And what I have learned is that whenever I have an inkling to want to share that with other people, it's kind of like when you hear something at church and you want to nudge the person next to you, did you hear that? It's like, whenever we point our fingers, there's three pointing back at us. And so I went, okay, before I can say that to other people, I'm going to start asking myself that. And I started asking myself that, you know, if my best isn't good enough, what, you know, what do I need to change? And what I found is when I said my best is, I'm doing my best, there was like no room for God to drop anything into my spirit, to give me any more wisdom, because I'm basically saying there's nothing else that can be done. Again, that's very much about me. It's like I can't do anything else about it. That's leaving no room for God to do any work whatsoever. Why is he going to give you any ideas at all? You're still just totally looking at yourself. When I started asking myself, if my best isn't good enough, what do I have to change? Oh, my gosh, he started giving me some ideas that were really outside the box and some different things that I could do to get different results, because the fact of the matter is none of us is a finished product. You know, none of us, even as nationals, are doing everything now that in 5 years or 10 years we'll probably be doing things vastly different, because we're going to continue to ask ourselves, if our best isn't good enough, what do we have to do next? So, you know what your finish line is by this Thursday, hopefully. You know what your next step, what is, you know, your next step by Thursday, you know, that you set for yourself. So even if you took out all the things that have or haven't happened this month, what is it that you set for yourself for the end of October? And all of you guys know what it's like to set a goal like that, that regardless of what it's looked like prior, you're going to get the job done. You did that when you set a perfect start goal. You did that when you set a red jacket goal, on target car or cruise or directorship. None of you who are sales directors finished directorship by saying, I'll do my best or I'll give it a try. It was, I will get it done. I will figure out a way or make a way, and there's going to be a God gap in there that he's going to grow your faith in the process, I guarantee you. Because something I believe firmly in, that if he's really deposited a goal and dream for you to earn a car, become a director, become a national, he knows who those 14 people are that are supposed to be on your car team. He knows who the 24-hour for your unit. He knows who the 75-hour for your Cadillac unit, if that's what it's going to take. He knows the 24 or the 20 directors for your national area. All you got to do now is walk it out. But you know what it means to set a goal and have it be non-negotiable, because you've done that before. I mean, except it, the only people listening to this who haven't done it are new consultants who haven't made a perfect start goal and followed through on it, or a red jacket goal. You're the only ones that haven't set a goal yet, knowing, you know, what it means and what it looks like to have a non-negotiable goal. It's so critical to make the finish line non-negotiable, because then when you get to the end of it, the end of this Thursday, you're going to be able to evaluate and say, okay, yeah, I did what it took, and that was enough. It got the job done. Or, you know, I thought I was doing what it took, and I didn't get the job done. And so, you know, what I want to do is give you a formula to evaluate that. And actually, let's look at evaluating it right now. You do not have to wait until Thursday night or Friday morning to evaluate why you're at where you're at in your business right now. This is a formula that God honestly gave me years ago. I wish I would have had it as a consultant. It would have saved me a lot of frustration and disappointment. It actually was something that he shared with me, I think, when I was at the end of my rope, because that's usually when I go to him, is when, you know, when all else fails, let's pray. Gosh, I've learned that is not the best strategy. Let's go to him first, because he could save us a lot of time and frustration. I'm sure I frustrated him with that process, but I was at the point where I would see consultants go from perfect start to perfect stop, or, you know, earn a car and then lose a car. And lose is a bad word, because it's lost. I mean, you don't know where it's at. You know exactly where it's at. You haven't done the work to keep it. Become a director, not be a director. And I think this holds a lot of people back. Like, well, what if I, you know, get a Cadillac and can't keep it? I mean, that, honestly, that is not a thought that Ari and Kim and Cindy and Russ, the nationals that are on here, entertain at all. It's not something we think of at all. Like, if we ever did think of that at any stage, we've learned how to not think that way, because that will not serve you well. You need to know that, you know, what does it take to stay in that position in the natural, and then, you know, with your head. So I was frustrated helping coaching people through. I felt like I just didn't have like a way to, how do I help them? There was like a big black hole between, you know, Perfect Start and Power Start and then their, you know, goals that they wanted to maintain or grow to. And so this is the formula that God gave me, and I'm going to have you write these four things down, and then I'm going to go back and give you some information so you can use this when we get off this call to evaluate where you're at right now in your October, what you're going to do to change, to run across the finish line how you want to by Thursday night, and then to set you up so that your finish line's next month at this time, when you're at the 28th of November or 26th of November, whatever the date is today, looks different than it does right now. Because you've self-coached yourself, you coached yourself through this to make the course adjustments, and then you can also use this with your team members and directors. You use this with your consultants. I use it with my consultants and my directors. Honestly, my directors who have been with me a while, you know, by the time they're a director, they've gone through this with me so many times that they know the first thing I'm going to ask them when they say, okay, this is what happened in my month, I'm going to say, how many faces did you put the products on? They know that that question is going to be first, because the first thing you evaluate are numbers. So next to number one, write numbers. Number two, write target market. Number three, write skill/systems. Number four, write you. Okay? So numbers, they are how many new leads did you get? So look at in October, from October 1st to now, how many new leads have you brought into your business? You know, from your names, from your faces and your parties, your classes, from tables, from honoring professional working women, however it is that you get your leads in everyday life, how many leads did you get in October? How many new faces did you put the product on personally? How many people did you talk to about the opportunity? Interview, not just give information about the opportunity, like they came to a meeting, they were at a party. No, you interviewed. That means that it has to be between you and them, verbally, not electronically. If you ever did this, why would you start a Mary Kay business? You know, what would hold you back other than fear? Getting your starter kit today. That makes, turns it from marketing information to recruiting, sharing, the company calls, but you're recruiting. You're picking out people you want to have on your team that we want or need in Mary Kay. So number of people you interviewed, and directors, your unit size. So those are the numbers you look at. And then the next category, target market. And I'm going to tell you guys how to use this formula after I tell you what each of those four stand for. Target market are women who hit three out of these five marketing statistics. They are women between 25 and 55 years old. They own a home. They are married. They have children. And they have some education. And you guys, this is recorded, so if you need to hear those back, replay and get those jotted down, because women who hit three out of five of those marketing statistics are Mary Kay target market, meaning that half of them will buy Timewise skincare if they're presented the opportunity, and one out of five will recruit. So when you're working outside of the target market, like my daughter, she was in college when she earned her car and became a director. And so, you know, I shared with her this target, what our target market was. And so the women she was working with were predominantly, like herself, in college. They did not hit three out of the five marketing statistics. So she had to put the product on more faces to get company average sales, to be a star herself. She had to talk to more people about the opportunity than one out of five to get one person that will actually do something versus just buy a starter kit. She had double the amount of people for car and unit. So I wish I would have known that, because when I started, I was not in Mary Kay's target market. So, and then I moved to Douglas, Arizona, a really small town on the Mexican border. I am not bilingual. 9,000 people live there, 2 hours to an airport. My husband was a Border Patrol agent in law enforcement. So, you know, I'm in my early 20s, blonde-haired, young, not bilingual, husband in law enforcement. Kind of stuck out as a sore thumb. But I wish I would have known this, that I just had to work with more numbers to get my Queen's Court of Sales done. I knew from Debbie's newsletter what her people in Cleveland were doing, and I knew that they were in front of less people than I was and had higher sales, and they got to their cars and directorship faster, and I could kind of beat myself up, but I didn't have it in my face like the internet puts everything in our face constantly, so you're constantly comparing yourself. I could only once a month compare myself with the newsletter. But at my weekly success meeting, you know, I could see that the people that were in Mary Kay's target market, they got results easier than people who weren't. And so I would have beat myself up a lot less if I would have recognized that I was working outside of Mary Kay's target market and I was outside of Mary Kay's target market. So it wasn't me that was a problem. It was I just needed to do more numbers. It's with any consumer product. I have a marketing degree from Michigan, and, you know, we were taught that, you know, companies figure out what their market is, and that is where they get the best results. So, you know, if you're going to sell snowmobiles, you sell them in Michigan and Wisconsin. You don't market them in Miami and Alabama and Arizona, Southern Arizona. Some of them don't know what snowmobiles are. So, you know, we're a consumer product. Our product is a consumer product. Our opportunity is. Mary Kay is unique because most cosmetic companies have a socioeconomic market they market to. You can tell where they put their products, how they advertise, the price points, the models they pick. We're not. We sell to all different markets, but if you're doing this as a career, you need to know to get best value for your time, pick hostesses who are in Mary Kay's target market, because then they have friends who are in Mary Kay's target market, and so your sales are going to be higher per time invested. Does it mean that, you know, someone who's not, oh, no, I won't hostess a party for you? Absolutely not. But this information helps you be able to coach yourself to be able to evaluate the numbers that you are doing. 3, skills/system. A skill is generally a dialogue for consultants. For directors, it's going to be things like office help, you know, setting up for the consultant part of your business, setting up for the director side of your business, processing new consultants, unit meetings, housekeepers, childcare, et cetera, systems. 4 is you. So what I would love to have you do when you get off this call is look at this list and say, okay, this is my goal for the end of October, and let's look at my numbers. The first thing you look at are numbers. Generally, the first thing that women look at are themselves. They go to themselves. What's wrong with me? Where am I inadequate? Maybe I misunderstood. Maybe God changed his mind. And then the next thing you go to are, oh, for consultants, I don't know enough. I need to know more. I need more training. Directors, I need new systems. I need to do my meeting different. I need a new training packet. I need new orientation. I need a new system. And then the next thing, that if you get past yourself and the skill or systems, then you go to target market. I'm working with the wrong people. It's my unit. It's my team. It's my customers. It's my hostesses. It's my prospects. The last thing you address are numbers. And that's totally in the opposite order that's going to help you make the course corrections most effectively. The first thing you want to look at are numbers. You can change numbers fastest. And so you look at the new leads, the new faces, the interviews. And I will guarantee you, when you do this evaluation for yourself or you're walking your people through it, this works for brand new consultants up to women building national areas and national sales directors. I can do this with myself right now for my national area as a national sales director. The first thing to look at are numbers. And if the numbers are not in line with the goal that you are working towards, then you change the numbers first. If the numbers are in line, say your goal was to have a gold medal this month, and so you needed to do 10 parties this month, and so you did do 10 parties, and you didn't get the results that you wanted. You did do the interviews. You were in front of the people. The next thing you look at is target market. So if you did do the numbers and you didn't get the results, then you look at target market. But I will guarantee you 95% of the time, you never have to go past numbers. 95% of the time. That's why my directors just know they can do this conversation in their heads now, because they know I'm disappointed or frustrated with my business. How many faces did you put the products on? 9. Okay, well, we don't have to talk about your new consultant training packet or the attendance that you're having at meetings, because you just put the faces on a product on 9 faces. That's not enough even to maintain a unit, no less grow a unit. So, if the numbers are in line, though, then you look at target market, and you make changes in target market by picking different hostesses, by where you warm book, by where you get leads, by who you talk to about the opportunity, who you invest extra time in as a sales director, who you personally recruit. 3, the skill, if it's your numbers, you did those, and the target market's fine, then you go to, I need to know more. Consultants or directors, leave dialogues. If there's things that you don't think are working well, leave that dialogue, like you're talking to your national, or if you're a consultant talking to your director, leave it on the, if you're a consultant, you leave it for your director. If you're a director, leave it on your national. Box her, voicemail her, tell her exactly what you're saying, like you're talking to that person, because she may be able to pick up one word or intonation that needs to change. But if your numbers are in line and your target market's in line, then we look at skill or systems. And then if it's all those three things are in line and you still aren't where you want to be with your business goals, month to date, then it's you. And those are one of those really unfun places in our business where God has a change. He has a character issue change. He needs you to be, to think differently, to be more in line with his son, to be different for the leadership role he has called you to. And the only way to walk through those things is to stay in your numbers, not pull yourself off the potter's wheel. I see so many women that are called into Mary Kay that they were so proficient in the other arenas of their life. You were a great student. You were a great mom, wife, in your other job. And then you come into Mary Kay and you're going to hit a challenge at some time during your business, move up the career path. I guarantee you. It may be as a consultant. It may be as a DIQ, a director, new director, seasoned, or an NSD. Honestly, my biggest learning curves have come in this last 9 years of being a national sales director. And so, but I couldn't take myself off the potter's wheel and not do the numbers or stay in the target market and perfect the skills and the systems while God's revealing these things to me, because this is the arena he's put me in to figure these things out. And if I take myself off this potter's wheel, I could easily perform well someplace else, but in most other arenas you can perform well and not have to make the internal character adjustments that God wants for you. And so it's just a Band-Aid. So this formula, you use it when you're frustrated or disappointed. You use it with your people, teach them how to use it when they're frustrated or disappointed, and you also use it when things are going good. Because honestly, when we're at the mountaintop times, those are generally the times that we don't evaluate. And what I have found is when I don't evaluate what's going on and why, then I'm generally in for a downturn on the other side. So knowing, you know, these are the numbers that I did, these are the target market that I'm working in that's working, so you can continue to do more of what's working. Again, 4 days. All of you guys are at way different places in your business, but if you're on this, you want to move up the career path, I know one finish line that will serve you all well, and that's how many agreements you get in by Thursday. You know, what is the amount of agreements, whether it's a unit amount of agreements or a personal recruiting medal, what's the number of agreements that you're going to get in by Thursday? DIQs do this. You know, you finish directorship, you get into your red jacket, all by agreements. Like, they're not as focused on production as they are agreements. You know you have to have those 24 plus in, and, you know, if you're working outside the target market, it's going to have to be more than that. And even if you're in the target market, not every single person orders their first month. You know, a third orders their first month of new consultants, a third the second, a third none at all. So, you know, how many agreements do you have to get in by Thursday? Make that a non-negotiable, because that's something you all can change. You all can do by Thursday. After DIQ, a lot of directors lose sight of this, of staying focused on agreements. And you guys, production follows people. It always follows target market people. It doesn't always follow, it doesn't follow all people. Production follows target market people. So as a director, when I wanted to go from one place to the next, maybe you're going from Equinox to Cadillac, maybe you're going from Cruise to Cadillac, maybe you're going from, you know, people who are working to go to New Orleans, you know you need 8 active or DIQ to be in New Orleans with us. Directors, you need to know, how many people do you want in your unit by the end of October, end of November, end of December? At the seasons when I would get most frustrated with unit production, I would go back to my spiral, and on the left side of a lined piece of paper, I would write down, let's say the end of September, my unit finished with 63 people. But then when October flipped over, I was at 58 because of the I3s who did not order, so they're now T's. So at the side of my paper, the beginning of October, I would start numbering 58, and then down a next line, 59, 60, 61, 62, 63. Wherever I ended up, the end of September, I draw a pink line under it, and then I'd continue the line. So if I ended September with 63, maybe I want to be at 72, whatever that number is by the end of October. So I would have my piece of paper line numbered on the left-hand side from 58 to 72 with a pink line showing me what I have to get back up to just to break even. And so on those lines, what I'm doing is I'm writing people's names as new agreements go in, as T's put orders in, so they count again towards the unit size. And my whole focus is to hit 72 by the end of October. I know that's how we went from being a trip unit for, 12 out of 15 years, two of those were a million, million 50, million, or 1.2. But to go from trip to million, it was growing the unit from 150 to 200 and focusing on not the million, but getting that unit size up to 200. So regardless of what production was every month, I determined that my time was being prioritized well and I was being effective if I hit my unit size number. So some of you, it sounds simply so simple, it sounds ridiculous. It does work. My directors who track unit size are growing their businesses. They feel in control. They can fill the lines in from their own personal recruits. They can fill the lines in by working through their people to get people into their pearls faster. Like Ari was saying, people start as stars. I want to make them a senior. All the things that you guys know to multiply through you and the few and the new. So look at that. Where do you want your numbers to be by the end of October? It may be a personal medal number, it may be a unit size number. But for Cadillac by Christmas, how many do you need by Christmas? And then back it up to the end of November, back it up to Thursday, or for your crews, or for your unit, or for future director or DIQ. That is one goal that I know will serve all of you well. Prioritize your time around it. You guys, the next 4 days may be crazy because you haven't done your work, consistently through the month. That cramming, like you can cram in school when you're in college and high school. I was like a master of cramming because I could do it at the end and still get a good grade. Unfortunately, Mary Kay, we can cram. In most jobs, you can't. You can't not show up for 3 weeks of the month and then just show up the last 4 days and say, I'm here. I'm going to get the job done. They're going to say, it doesn't work like that. You're fired. In Mary Kay, unfortunately, it does work like that because as long as the numbers are on the computer by midnight on Thursday, the company's going to give you your car. They're going to give you your position. It's fine. The only thing that you've made crazy is your life. Do know that the next 4 days may be crazier because you haven't done the numbers consistently. So you've got to cram. But do know that you can change that by using that little formula to evaluate so that you set up a non-cramming month for November or December so it's more consistent. So unfortunately, cramming is allowed, but it sets you up in a win-lose situation. I love consistency because it sets you up in a win-win. Win-lose means that you may do the activity, but some of the results may fall into next month, which, that sometimes happens, but if you can prevent that from happening, that is better to set yourself up in a win-win. Something that breaks my heart is that when a leader sets himself up in a win-lose scenario, because you guys, the results may fall in this month, they may fall in next, but also life happens. Stuff happens. Like I remember being a director and the second to last day of the month, thinking that my appendix was bursting and it was a cyst on my ovary, but I was like in the hospital, like no cell phone, nothing, for 48 hours. If I wouldn't have had a system set up, if I wouldn't have done the work during the month, if I wouldn't have had an assistant here that could finish that month up for me, when my son had open heart surgery and I left June, that was our number one year. Gosh, we were ranked number one or two in the nation that year and ended up as number six, but still five offspring directors. That June I was gone, but it was the work that had been done years prior and months prior and the systems that were set up for a win-win scenario. People don't lose cars because of a health situation or a unit because of their health or something with their kids or their husbands or life. They haven't set themselves up in a win-win scenario. When you get 150 to 250 people in your unit, you set up a business that can stand the storms of life. I have done this business around, 27 years and, lots and lots of life. And this business, I've never been in jeopardy of losing my car or my unit, but I also have been very preventative in putting myself and my family in a win-win scenario. So, I'm hoping that this formula is helpful for you. The last thing I want to really encourage you to do is become a master of your time. I know Kim and Ari have already touched on time management tips, but highlight your date book. Take your date book out, physical date book. Highlight it between now and the end of the year. It is not a surprise that we have Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's coming up, or Hanukkah, whatever you're celebrating, isn't a surprise. And so plan out when you have stuff committed with your kids, with your other job, if you're working another job, with your husband, your church, et cetera. Highlight when you're going to be working your Mary Kay business. And make sure that what's highlighted is equivalent to the goals that you have set for yourself. Otherwise, you're setting yourself up to be frustrated. And then work your Mary Kay business in those time frames, even when it's inconvenient and even when it's uncomfortable. Because when you set up your Mary Kay time frames and you don't do it because it becomes inconvenient or uncomfortable, you are saying that this is a hobby. You're saying it's a hobby to yourself. You are saying it's a hobby to your family. Hobbies cost money. They don't make money. And so if you want this business to pay you like a business and it to be a business, you have to make business decisions versus hobby decisions. So highlight the time and protect those times. Other people are going to respect your Mary Kay business, your husband, kids, and family, just in the same, you know, proportionate to the choices that you make. You need to become a master of time management. So that is one of the best recruiting tools, because one of the biggest hang-ups I think people have about starting a Mary Kay business is, I'm too busy. How can I, you know, fit this into my already busy schedule? If people want what this business can give them, whether they're in the business or not, and they're willing to prioritize their time and give this enough time to get the results that they desire, you know, everyone can find that. We hear stories from the podium of women that have busier, crazier lives than anyone can imagine, and they still get it done. So highlight your time. Know when you're going to work your Mary Kay business, and when you're in it, when you're in your Mary Kay business, most of you put a little file card. If you're a little ADD like I am, I need to be reminded, what's my job description in my Mary Kay time? Okay, I've highlighted my date book. I know when I'm working. Go through that evaluation with your numbers, target market skill, and then put a little file card in your date book, on your computer screen, in your car. Make it your screensaver. Number one, booking personal appointments. Number two, coaching the personal appointments. Three, setting up your personal interviews. Four, following up with personal interviews. Five, your team interviews if you're in DIQ. Six, allowance. Allowance, a lot of that stuff you need other people to help you with. You need a teenager to come in and clean your mirrors and do your model setup so you could do 20 faces a week and everything set up for you. Directors can have meeting setup stuff done for them. You can have computer cards, your customer cards put into My Customer by a teenager. You can, you know, do your weekly summary sheet. Someone can do all those things for you. But you use that little card, so whenever you are wondering what should I be doing, look at that card before you go on Voxer, before you look at text, before you go to Facebook, before you respond to email, before you do any of those reactive things. Make sure you can go through that list. If you have your don't have appointments booked, what do you need? New leads or bookings? Do it. What do you have to coach? Do you have double booked to what you need to hold? Coach it. And then the interviews, et cetera, go down the list and do those things, because that's what you're supposed to be doing in your Mary Kay time. At the end of the day, you're not going to get everything done, I guarantee you. But if what I have found is if people are left to their own choices, they generally start that list at the bottom too. They do all else. And then they talk to their team members, recruit prospects. Then they talk to their own recruit prospects. Then they set up interviews. Then they coach appointments. Then they book. They do that in the opposite order also. If you do it in the order I shared with you, you still won't get everything done by the end of the day, but your business is moving forward, and you take yourself off of that, like, gerbil wheel, you know, being a gerbil that runs around on the wheel, and you're running, and you're running, and you're running, and you're not getting anywhere. To me, that is not a fun place to be in your Mary Kay business. Take yourself off the wheel by having that little file card everywhere that you go, or on your, you know, screensaver, so that when you are in your Mary Kay time, you know how to prioritize it. If you highlight your date book, you guys, you know when leadership conference is. I'm expecting everyone on this call that you're going to be with us. You are in a time in Mary Kay with national sales directors. If you're on this call, either in our commissioned area or our A-team area, you're in Mary Kay at a time when our product is selling easier than it ever has, because we're less expensive than our competition, and people are into value and customer service now. People are more open to the opportunity. All marketing information shows us that. We need NSDs. The company's paying people to become sales directors. Leadership Fellowship in New Orleans is open. That has only happened 3 times in my 27 years. Get yourself there. If you don't want to be a sales director, you're going to be an awesome consultant or team manager and driving for free. And it may be your job to find the next national sales directors. We need nationals. And 80% are retiring in the next 10 years. Most companies have no room at the top. They're not going to give benefits to one person that nationals get, so they want multiple people at lower levels. We need those women who have leadership, either a giant within them or they already have shown themselves to have leadership, and they just don't have a place to shine and a place to use it. So get yourself to leadership. You know when it's at. Buy your plane ticket. Plan for it. Don't have this be a surprise in December. Oh, I can't afford it because I have all this Christmas expense. You guys, plan for success. Cindy, I'm going to close with this. Cindy just recommended a book to me by Mark Batterson, who wrote The Circle Maker, which some of you may be familiar with. And she said, she asked if I had read his new book, In a Pit with a Lion on a Snowy Day. In a Pit with a Lion on a Snowy Day. Thank you, Cindy. Awesome book. Just getting into it, but I wanted to close with this statement. He said, Mark Batterson says, I have a simple definition of success. Do the best you can with what you have, where you are. In essence, success is nothing, is making the most of every opportunity. Spiritual maturity is seeing and seizing God-ordained opportunities. Think of every opportunity as God's gift to you. What you do with those opportunities is your gift to God. I'm absolutely convinced that our greatest regrets in life will be missed opportunities. And I totally agree with him. The greatest regrets that we're going to have in life, I think, are missed opportunities. You know, we focus on, oh, what's it going to cost me to do this? What am I going to sacrifice? You know what? I don't think those are going to be the regrets that we have. I think it's the missed opportunities that we're going to regret the most. I really pray that you're going to seize opportunities to connect with women, to serve them through this product and opportunity. I know God's going to make it clear to you whose names are supposed to be on those agreements by Thursday night and beyond. I bet some of those women, because you seized your opportunity the next 4 days, some of those women are going to be with us in New Orleans, thanking you profusely because they see they are part. They can see what they're part of now in Mary Kay at this such a time as this. And that you having a non-negotiable goal as far as agreements in by this Thursday and by the end of November and by the end of December allowed them to have a radical course correction in their life because you had a non-negotiable goal. You guys, God bless you. With courage as you walk, run this out. Thank you so much for dialing in. Cindy, am I supposed to do something else? I think if you guys press *6, you can press it again.
Hey, here I am. Here I am.
Okay, good.
You know, I'm in the process of learning. I've got to stop confessing. All my directors admonish me, you've got to stop confessing that you are not tech savvy because I'm perpetuating that, and they are so right. You know, and I'm so glad that I have the mind of Christ in this 2013, soon to be 2014 year, and I am becoming digitally savvy. Wow,
uh-huh.
You gave us the nuts and bolts. I mean, you gave us the how-to today, and I'm just so thankful for it. And I took, again, pages and pages of notes, and I'm so glad that you started out by, you know, telling us to take notes because, you know, this is what occurred to me while you were talking. Job 22:28 says, and you shall decree a thing, and it will be established. And so when we decree something, we write it down. And so as we're listening to these top nationals and, you know, taking these notes, and, you know, think about it, Dawn, we grew up, Mary Kay was still alive and still training us, and we took notes. We didn't have iPhones. We didn't have iPads. We took physical, pen in hand, paper in the lap, notes. And we decreed those things, those great nuggets of wisdom, those pearls of wisdom that they, you know, talk now about from Mary Kay. And it established in us. And so, you know, sometimes the old ways really are the best ways. They really are.
I agree.
And, I mean, you know, and I know you said, well, it's just so much faster to type it on an iPad. Faster is not always better. Not always, not in everything. So thank you for that, and thank you for so many. I know, are there other people on the line? I know there are, that would like to maybe ask a question or affirm Dawn for her awesome job in training us and giving us the meat to run this race today and through the end of the month and the seminar year. You have to unmute yourself. You have to hit star six.
Hi, Dawn. This is Jackie Craver. I am a Pink Cadillac sales director in the Houston, Texas area. And, oh, my gosh, I just want to say thank you so much. You are so energized today, and I actually have not had the privilege of hearing from you before, but thank you. I have written, just like Cindy, a million pages of notes. And, Cindy, thank you again so much. I met you at Yvonne Lemons. And thank you so much for pulling this together. I am learning so much and getting so more excited. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for being on.
Anybody
else? Hi, this is Loretta Peeler. I'm in the Sioux Eubule New National area, and just look forward to seeing you at our debut in a couple weeks. But thank you again for this. It was just so awesome. I needed a really strong success plan for these last 4 days, so thank you. It was very mind-shifting, and I'm excited to get rolling. Thank you.
You are welcome.
You know, I appreciated, Dawn, what you said about top priority is how many agreements, you know, in these next 4 days, that DIQs know that and that production follows people. And I remember years ago, years and years ago, my directors were asking me, what do we need to do to have a great December so we have a great paycheck in December, a great director's check? And, you know, national sales director, Inner Circle National now, Cindy Williams, was my DIQ roommate. And we roomed together at DIT week. And so from time to time I would call her, you know, because I was go give, my national had retired, when I needed help with something. And she said same thing. She said to have an awesome Christmas month, December month, you've got to have a great recruiting month in October and November, because production follows people. So you reminded us of that again today. Who else has got an affirmation or a question for Dawn?
They're all off evaluating their numbers. They're off to the races. It's good.
That is good. But, you know, you're absolutely right that we do tend to look at things backwards, you know, mm-hmm. about, you know, your thing, that your four things that you told us to mm-hmm. focus on. And it really is numbers. Now, what do you think it is that makes people do it backwards? Maybe even after they've heard you explain this and they still kind of fall into that rut of, you know, what's wrong with me?
You know, it's our natural self. Like, this business is, it's so much like our spiritual journey. It's like, you know, left to our own device, we go with what our natural, like, flesh wants us to do spiritually. Like, we have to fight that to do the, you know, the right thing. Sometimes we naturally do it, but often we do what's self-serving and not, you know, in line with God's best. In Mary Kay, it seems to be the same thing, and that's the challenge of our business and being an entrepreneur, is that you don't have someone else telling you what to do. You have to do this yourself. And so as women, we naturally just go to ourselves, like, we're the problem, there's something wrong with us, and then we go to the next, like, this, because the opposite order are, they're easier because you don't necessarily have to take action with it. You know,
right.
Can say, I don't know enough, so I got to get more help, or I have to change my meeting or my orientation or my verbiage. And then we may, you know, try and change the people. But the numbers are, I mean, that is the thing that we're actually can change things the fastest, but we're least likely to do, because for some reason we don't want to do what's best for us. It's like we want to eat the brownie instead of the apple. I mean, it's, I don't know. It's human nature. We're fighting against ourselves sometimes, but it's disciplining yourself to do those things in those orders, just like we have spiritual disciplines that we, you know, need to make ourselves do until they become part of our natural self. Same thing with our business. These are things you have to make yourself do, and there's still times, you know, in my business that I have to make that little file card and put it wherever I go, because otherwise I find myself off doing something else that's easier or I prefer or comes more naturally than what I know I have to do to get my business from where it's at to the next place.
That's right.
And it's not done. I mean, I think that everyone should know. I mean, all of us as nationals can tell you we still have to struggle with this and take control of it at different times in our business. It's not something you learn once and is just done. This is something that we, you know, are constantly going to be dealing with ourselves, doing, you know, the most important thing. And with all the distractions, you know, we live in an age of distraction. There's more and more distractions, so it becomes more and more important that we are, you know, understand this process and are taking control of it for ourselves, because otherwise you can get lost in Voxer, Facebook, email, conference calls, and feel like you're busy in Mary Kay stuff, you know, 24/7, and you are not progressing. Actually, you may be moving backwards.
That is so true. And my husband and I yesterday were talking about this, something relatable, okay? And I said, well, you know, it's like that story I remember reading about a Indian chief, and he was giving words of wisdom to his son, who would be chief after him. And he said, son, there are two wolves inside of you. There's the good wolf and there's the bad wolf. And whichever one you feed gets stronger. Yeah. And so that's our, you know, flesh man, like you said, or our spirit man. And whoever we feed is who gets stronger. And I believe you're absolutely right, because that's what I was thinking. I was thinking, I think it's our flesh that wants to look at it backwards, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely.
And then, yeah, and so, but the my best year ever was like your million-dollar year when I tracked every day my unit size. I mean, every day. And we did not have computers like we do now, and so we had to call that 1-800 number, do you remember?
Yeah.
And it was SAR 29.
Yeah.
I still remember. SAR 29.
Yes.
And I would every day call that to see what's my numbers today. And, you know, the company has done such an awesome job, and I'm kind of like my friend, National Sales Director Regina Hogue. She says we are almost overtrained because we have so much awesome stuff. And still, there's some great stuff like the Power Class of the Month. And this month's Power Class is by Diane Mentiply, brand new national Diane Mentiply, who I've gotten to meet just one time. But anyway, she's talking about vision. And she says, when you have a vision, like your vision on your million-dollar years was million, and then, of course, to beat your best and 1.2 million, you know, was your vision. And when you have a vision, she said, you will be on a mission, and you will be passionate. You will have passion, and you will do whatever it takes because you have a vision. And, you know, she doesn't say this, but you know, and I know, that the Bible says without vision, the people perish. That means they cast off restraint. They do not exercise self-discipline when they don't have a vision. And so looking at that every single day, and even, I love your idea of writing down, you know, having that tracking of where you're headed and every day writing names, that, I mean, it is so powerful. Without a vision, people cast off restraint. So,
well, as leaders, we're responsible for protecting that vision. And with all the distractions, and also, too, we live in a world where everyone feels like they can give their opinion, and we open ourselves up for that, too. And so we have to spend enough time with God by ourselves and in quiet by ourselves to be able to be clear on that vision and the way to get there. Because I remember Kathy Hallou talking about, you know, Moses, he did not get to go into the promised land, you know, which is so sad when he, you know, gets the Ten Commandments, goes down, he gets so angry at the people for their grumblings that he, in his anger, loses his right to go into the promised land. He gets to lead them to the line of it, see into the promised land, but he doesn't get to go into the promised land. And because he got absorbed in the people's grumblings and what was going on around him, versus staying focused on what God had called him to do and leading them towards the vision and them following him, versus he turned around and got involved in. And how many times has that happened to Mary Kay? You know, you have a consultant who sees this dream deposited into her heart, and you're just like, oh, she gets it. She's been praying for something. This lines up with it. But then, you know, family and friends aren't supportive, or she has a kickoff party and no one comes, or, you know, she is getting frustrated booking her perfect or power start, or the director who, or the DIQ, the new director who starts to, you know, not continue to team build herself, but starts to just focus all on the team and what they're doing. She's going to get to the point where she's going to realize that her business is not growing because she's not being the leader out there focusing forward. She's turning around and getting sucked into, and we have to coach and mentor people, but we have to be far enough away from them, heartstring-wise, that we can give them wise counsel. And, you know, I, when Kathy Hulu talked about them, like that, you know, how sad is that? I don't want to not get to my promised land or where God wants me to go and where he wants me to lead people to because I get so wrapped up in the distractions or other people's drama or frustrations or disappointments or unwillingness to walk it out.
That's right. That's right. You know, I never thought about Moses exactly like that before, that, you know, I knew it was because of anger issues that he didn't make it into his promised land, but I never thought about it in relation to Mary Kay, that when we let or allow our, you know, and get drawn into their drama, you know, to other people's drama, that we can miss our promised land.
Ooh. And you can, we can tell as leaders, we have to know when we're getting sucked into that. Like, I can tell because I'm getting, they're frustrating me. And I'm getting, you know, angry. You kind of go back to your home base, whatever that is for your personality behavior type. You got to know how to snap out of that and get your face forward focused. And I know I got to exercise. I got to listen to praise music. I have to spend extra time, you know, with the Lord, in the Word. I got to get my head on straight so I can be forward focused because then I can coach them without emotionally being sucked into it or buying into it and be able to really, you know, be the Bible for them, be a guide, be a visionary leader. But we all have to detect when we are starting to turn around and react, you know, and be the orchestra leader versus being the band leader, which a marching band, the leader's out in front marching forward. Once in a while, they may turn around to make sure, you know, everyone's on task, but they're not marching backwards. They're marching forward, and people are following them, and the ones that get tired and don't want to, so be it, but they're not the orchestra leader standing in place and just leading that same group. So whenever I can find that I'm starting to turn back into the orchestra leader, I need to know how do I get myself back on task and forward focused towards the vision and what I'm called to do, because ultimately God's called me to do it, not them, and then I'm going to see who's called to do it along with me by who's willing to walk it out.
That's right. That's right. Wow. That's so awesome. Well, I know everybody on this call feels like that they've not only got their business strategy and the nuts and bolts, but they've had a great Bible lesson.
Well, it's fun having coffee with you, Cindy.
I know it. Totally enjoyed that. Oh, yeah, and there was one more thing you said. There was lots that you said, but the new term that I'm going to use, and I'll remember to give you credit for it, a God gap. A God gap. I've never heard. I've always called it a season of contradiction. It's when you're, you know, you're believing for something, and believing means acting towards it, and it hasn't manifested yet, and you're in that adversity season when it seems like everything's coming against you, you know, to stop your whatever. And I call it a season of contradiction where it looks like everything but, based on Hebrews 12. But anyway, but a God gap. I like that. It's a God gap that he's going to grow you in faith, grow you in patience, grow your character, you know, so that you'll be a whole different, better person when you have the victory, when you have victory.
And ultimately,
well,
those are the places that you're very, you become grateful for on the other side.
Exactly.
On the other side. In retrospect, it always gets clear. When you're going through it, it just requires faith to be tested and grown, and it really allows you to see where your faith is at, because that's believing and walking even when you don't see it.
That's right. You know, every great person we know, you know, if we sat down and talked and interviewed them and asked them, you know, what made you the dynamic champion person that you are, they would say it was in the valleys that they grew, that their character was developed. It was in the valleys, in the adverse places, truly. Well, all right, guys, y'all got what you need to run this race and win, and run it to win. Have a great month end, a great week, and we'll talk to you next week, and we will see you in New Orleans. No, non-negotiable, Don said. Non-negotiable. We'll see you in New Orleans. Thanks again.
Bye-bye.